Now, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray.
And now, from coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding are pleased to present the CBS Radio Network. Bob, you're on the air.
Thanks very much, Ray. You are, too. And the last program for this week, and we've got a lot of surprises, we think, that you certainly not want to miss.
You think so? Is there some water here?
Yes, we're well equipped with that. That's about all we had.
Sounds like a sound effect.
What's the real thing? A little later, we're going out to Hollywood for a very...
I got the hot coffee.
Okay.
And I see I have the pineapple vanish.
Sugaring
vanish. Bow tie.
What do you do, come through the building all the time?
French donut.
No.
I got a jelly donut.
What's that? What's that?
Bacon powder biscuit.
Oh, no.
Cheese sandwich.
I'm not hungry anymore.
And beer.
No, well, thank you very much.
You can use any.
Do you see the sign outside there? It says on the air.
These were broadcasting.
Yeah. Close the door. Oh, what problems we have here.
I don't pay any attention to those signs. Well, let's get to the first feature anyway.
Yeah, okay. Music.
Howdy, this is Lawrence Chuck Peterton, your novice sports reporter, coming to you from our new low-input station here in Elderhide, Montana. And as usual, because of budgetary limitations, our guest today is another sports figure who's had it. He's ex-swimming champion Nick Flail Edwards. And Nick, what are you doing these days?
Well, Chuck, I'm in the restaurant business in the town of Blair's Bend.
Like so many other ex-athletes, eh?
Well, that's right. My restaurant is called A Stroke, and the specialty of the house is carp.
Well, isn't carp a fish that's hard to get, Nick?
Well, yes, but I have it flown in from New York, see?
The airport there at Blair's Bend?
No. The nearest airport is 300 miles away in Loose Shale. And the carp is delivered by bus from Loose Shale. It takes about 5 days before I get the carp.
Well, how's the business at your restaurant, The Stroke?
Well, I never go near the place. I rented an empty store about 100 feet up the street from The Stroke, and I conduct the business from there. But as for your question, I don't think I'm doing too well.
I see. Well, Nick, as a sports figure who's had it, what was the high spot in your swimming career as you look back now?
Well, I'd say in 1932... I became interested in underwater swimming, and that year I swam around Manhattan Island underwater.
Wow.
And stayed under for 7 hours.
That's a long time, Nick. Were you in any way affected by having been underwater for that length of time?
Well, Chuck, for about 2 months after that particular feat, I was unable to eat any food unless it was served on a hook.
Mm-hmm. Nick, as a swimmer who's had it, so to speak, what started you on your downfall? Could you tell us?
Well, it was in 1934. I attempted to swim the English Channel. And with all that grease on me, I sank like a stone as soon as I hit the water.
Ooh.
And there was a lot of bad publicity, and things didn't go too well after that.
Well, what did you do when you found things weren't going so well for you?
Well, I kicked around. I got a job in the Everglades wrestling alligators.
How did that work out?
Well, it was a big scandal. A couple of alligators were caught throwing the bouts.
And after that?
Well, I got a job with a circus, jumping from a height of 300 feet into a tank filled with 2 feet of water.
Did you cut the mustard on that job, Nick?
Yeah, I sure did. Except on the nights that the elephants get thirsty and drain the tank.
Oh,
the tank.
Well, yes, it is an unhappy memory for you. The job must have toughened you up, however.
Well, it taught me that life is full of hard knocks. I'd say it did that.
Which brings us to the present. How come, Nick, you decided to go into the restaurant business?
Well, I found out that I could have carp flown in daily from New York City. And I wasn't going to pass up an opportunity like that.
Well, thanks very much for being with us today, former sports great Nick Flail Edwards. And when the great swimming pool is drained dry, I'm sure your name will be visible at the bottom.
Say, you know, everywhere you go across the country, or across the street party, for instance, you carry the fun with you when you own a Columbia Stereophonic high-fidelity phonograph. Now, there's a marvelous selection of seven new portable models in smart new color combinations at your Columbia phonograph dealer for you to choose from. Now, each one is a masterpiece of design and beauty. More quality, more features, and more styling have been built into these sturdy portables than ever before. And how much fun you'll have enjoying all the wonderful new sound of stereo records. Regular records take on new beauty, too, when played on handsome Columbia portables.
And you'll be amazed at the big console sound that's reproduced by Columbia Portable Stereophonic High Fidelity Phonographs. You'll thrill to the excitement of Stereo One by Columbia, number one in the wonderful world of sound. And Columbia portables are economical, too. Prices start as low as $24.95. See them and hear them today at your Columbia phonograph dealer.
Nice going, Bob. Did a real nice job on that. Now then, it's time to call in our famous announcer. I don't know if he's been on the show yet. Word Carr.
No, he hasn't.
I don't think people...
I didn't even know he was working again.
He's back, and we've assigned him to Hollywood, and he'll be doing most of his work from there. So Word Carr standing by now in the film capital. Come in, please.
Erd Kyr on the soundstage of MGL Studios here in Hollywood, reporting to Bob and Ray in New York. The filming of one of this fall's biggest motion pictures is underway, and we're fortunate today to be here to witness one of the most exciting scenes in the picture, which is going to be shot in just a few minutes. The picture, Anatomy of a Jury, starring Flint Locke, Lawson Tisdale, with Mary Beth McLaughlin. I believe Flint Locke is going to have a word or two with us. Flint, before they shoot this scene, could you just say a word or two about the picture? And I might say you're looking great.
Well, thank you very much, and hello, fans everywhere.
Has become an overnight success, as you have in Hollywood. Created any special problems for you, Flint?
Well, I don't know as I'm an overnight success for years. Oakley's husband, you know, in a TV series.
I think you're being pretty modest there, Flint.
But this particular picture that you're here to see, a portion of it filmed today, is called Anatomy of a Jury.
Yes.
And it's a dramatic thing. It's my first dramatic role, really, where I can really sink my teeth into it. And I think I'm doing a wonderful job.
Well, I think after your fans see you in this picture, Flint, they will agree even more that you are one of the top-flight new stars on the Hollywood firmament.
A word coming from you, I know that's high praise.
Well, now, we're going to see. I see they're pretty well set up over there. The orchestra is sitting down, and they must be about ready to shoot the scene. This is where the jury comes in.
That's right. See, I'm the foreman of the jury.
Quiet on the set, please. We're shooting take 213.
Well, wait, excuse me. I was just pointing out that I am the foreman of the jury, and this is the climax of the whole picture. We come in now.
Scene we're about to see.
Quiet on the set. This is a take. Talk, talk, action, music.
Mr. Foreman, have you reached a decision?
Yes, Your Honor, we have. We find the defendant...
Put! Great, Flint. Nice going, Flint. Terrific take.
Thank you very much.
Flint, I wonder if we have just... Is the scene over?
Yes, that's all for today.
Well, we don't know how it actually came out, what the answer was, or anything. You can't give us an idea of what the return of the jury was?
The writers haven't decided yet. They don't know whether to have the fellow guilty or not guilty.
So on this note of suspense, and certainly one which will... And make us all want to see your picture. It's goodbye to Flint Locke.
All right, break the set. Let's go.
Striking the set now, and this is
Flint
saying goodbye from Hollywood. Back to New York.
Thank you, Word. Back here in New York, we are indeed.
That's one thing I meant to talk to Word about before he went out there, was that he always kind of gets an interview or a description right up to the crucial moment, and then it just falls flat. Now, we didn't learn anything about the picture.
Well, you know, they are writing movies right up to the last minute, obviously. Now, here the writers haven't decided whether the fellow is guilty or not.
What's that?
Hmm?
Oh, one of our writers can't decide how the show is going to end. He's in there.
All right, well, we'll think of something when we get to it. We have a few minutes yet.
Hi, Private.
Wally Blue and Noddy Skirmelhorn today are... What's the golf course?
They're out at the Falderall Country Club in New Jersey.
For the 95th annual Flubber's Open. And he's standing by there at the 18th hole as the last twosome are coming in. Come in, please, Wally Blue.
Hey, Dios, Wally Blue, standing at the 19th green here at the Falderall Country Club, where the 95th Flubber's Open is coming to climax. Hooker Fenster and Rapid Ralph DeClear are the two finalists. I believe they're tied at 72, and Hooker probably will be the first one.
Hey, use the mic. Will you clam up, please?
We're broadcasting, sir.
I'm going to line up a putt.
Hooker is trying to line up his putt. He lies about 8 feet from the pin, while Rapid Ralph...
Please, watch it.
I'll have to be quiet now while he takes his time lining up the shot. Explain it after... He's taking a great deal of time measuring, thinking about.
What is
now there's a helicopter overhead that seems to be approaching, taking some sort of motion picture of this exciting event. Right over Hooker at the moment.
Hey, will you get out of here with the whirly bird? I'm trying to putt.
Hooker is...
I get in here on a birdie, I got it.
Calling up to the pilot.
Come on, will you?
Trying to shoo him off, much in the manner that he would try to shoo a mosquito off his neck. Now the plane is...
Please, will
now,
you?
I believe he's about ready to make his putt, the one which will count so much in this, the final round of the... And here he goes. Well, he hesitated there, and the ball went about 3 feet to the right of the pin.
Oh, well, that bird came right down and flew right in front of me. I can't...
Now I'm going to call in Arnie Skirmelhorn, who is back by the rough to the left of the pin, and he is following Rapid Ralph DeClear. And, Arnie, can you hear me back there?
Yes, I can hear you very well, Wally. Yes, he is in the rough, and he will have to get out of here on a, I would estimate, a 7-iron shot.
Would you
to,
be quiet, get... please? This is a very important shot for me.
Yeah.
You just stand back.
Right. He'll have to get out of here with a 7-iron shot if he wants to birdie this hole.
Just a little bit.
Now, he is, as you know, one under par at this point. So if he birdies here, he's got a wonderful opportunity to...
You're going to be quiet?
Don't. Come on.
Okay.
Watch it. Take it away, Wally. I'm in serious trouble.
Hello again here at the 18th green, waiting for Rapid Ralph's shot to come up from the... From the sand trap, and here it is, landing within 15 inches of the pin. A beautiful chip shot by Rapid Ralph as he comes over the bunker now, heading up for this final all-important putt. Ralph, it's wonderful.
Thank you
we're
very
certainly
much.
Anxious to see you hole out here.
Yes, please.
All right, here he goes, lining it up, and he's just about...
Well, the owner of Massachusetts license plate 58394463315. Please report to the pros office.
I guess that's all there is.
Look, broadcaster, give me just 5 seconds.
All right, I'll be quiet.
Get this putt, I'll win the tournament.
Hold
Thank
on.
You, please.
Hey, Ralph, that's your card.
I'm sorry. You're just
putting as I...
thank you, broadcaster, for ruining my chance.
Terribly sorry. This is Wally Ballou returning it now to our main studios.
And here in our main studios in Portland... looks like we're all set to sign off the show, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess we are already, huh?
Well, we had a wonderful week. We want to thank Dick Cowan, our director, and Kirby Ayers, Joe Cabibbo, and Tom Sheehy, and Joe Alonzo. Do we leave out anybody?
Wilbur Conway. We want to thank us for being here. We'll be here again on Monday.
Yeah, until then, this is Ray Goulding, reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott, reminding you to hang by your thumbs. Thank you.
CBS Radio Network. The news.